In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I was in a bad mood. The rain was streaking across the windshield, blurring the oncoming headlights. Traffic was pretty heavy as I wound my way toward the terminal at O'Hare. One more excuse to be grumpy. I was a senior in high school, and I had been voluntold to drive to the airport to pick up my dad. It was November, and the rain was threatening to turn into snow. Oh joy, oh rapture. Like I said, I was in a bad mood. We lived in the town of Park Ridge, right near the airport, and with my dad consulting on a big job out east, these trips were almost as common as trips to the grocery store. And like most high schoolers who have just learned to drive, any opportunity to drive was a thrill. It was new, it was exciting, provided it was something you wanted to do. And I really didn't want to be doing this. There was something else that I wanted to be doing, something else that was way more important than this, than picking up my dad at the airport. But if I wanted the car later, I had to get dad now. You know, funny thing, looking back on it from all these years, I have no idea what that important thing was at the time. But trust me, it was important. And now, I was going to be late because I had to get dad at the airport. And it looked like it would be later still because of the weather and the traffic. Oh, my mood was darkening quickly, as only a teenager's mood can. As I worked my way over to the curb at our prearranged spot, two men dashed out through the rain. The front door opened, and a strange man got in next to me. As my dad got in the back seat, he made a quick introduction. This was John Smith, or whoever it was. We're going to give him a ride home. They went back to talking between themselves, and I went back to stewing and grinding my teeth about missing my important thing to do. I figured this must be a man that my dad worked with, and they must have gone on the trip together. But as they talked, it began sounding more like they were getting to know each other. Why in the world are we giving this guy a ride home tonight? I thought. As we drove along, I soon discovered that he didn't even live in Park Ridge. He lived three towns over, adding about an hour to my trip. Whew. I got really grumpy as it dawned on me that late was moving rapidly toward too late. Regarding my ability to do the thing that I wanted to do. You know that important thing? Well, one should not speed when the roads are wet and slick, and one definitely should never speed when your father is in the car, even if he's lost in conversation with someone he just met. Driving the speed limit that night was one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life, but I did it. And the tension and the anger continued to build inside of me. By the time we dropped Mr. Smith off at his house, I had a pretty serious case of poor, pitiful me going on. I hadn't said anything on the way out, but on the way home, I let my dad know how horribly I had been treated. You don't even know him. How could you give a ride home to someone you just met on the airplane? Oh, I didn't meet him on the airplane. I met him at the baggage claim while we were waiting for our baggage. What? And why are we giving him a ride home? Because he needed one. Why wouldn't we? Well, we'll never see him again. What does that have to do with anything? And it went on like that for the whole ride home. And to tell you the truth, I don't think I ever got it, at least not that night. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I was living in the middle of a parable. Sure as shooting, I had the disciples' part. I was acting just like the disciples always do. I'd been raised in the church. For crying out loud, I'd been trained as a Boy Scout. I was generally a very helpful person, but it always happened on my terms. On that trip home from the airport, my dad struggled to teach me that Christian hospitality is so much more than just being helpful, just being nice. And it wasn't anything that he actually set out to do. It was just an opportunity that presented itself. Nowadays, we call that a teachable moment. That moment went on for like an hour. I don't recall if I got this line from that trip, but I got it sometime around then. Character is what you do when no one is looking. In true hospitality, there is no arrogance. There can be no pride. You know, when we go over to the Jubilee Center to serve a meal to those without a home or who are struggling to live, it's easy to see the countless little ways that God has blessed each one of us. And I suppose that's a good thing, but it can be a problem as well. For if we go to the Jubilee Center thinking that we're better than they are and are therefore in some way obligated to help them because we are better off, well, then we've missed the point completely. When we hear the many stories from these people who, for one reason or another, find themselves on the street, we learn how truly fragile life is. We help each other because we all need help, and because we all need to be helping. And that, my friends, is what we do when we're doing it right. It can also be a lesson that's difficult to learn from the comfortable pews of a proper Episcopal church, even from Emmanuel Episcopal Church with the Jubilee Center sitting right next door. We need to remember that every Sunday morning we're invited to a banquet where we are the guests of honor and where we receive a gift that we could never, ever hope to repay. In response to that gift, we need to remember to throw a banquet of our own every so often for those who can never hope to repay us. Not because we ought to, but out of love. Not in some feeble attempt to balance the books, but to remind us of the importance of hospitality. To remind us that we have plenty to be humble about. To keep our hearts from the sin of pride, that they may be more secure in the Lord. As we begin the ramp up to the program year, kickoff Sunday is coming up next week. With all its activities and classes and programs, I invite you to take a moment and to reflect on the importance, the real importance of what we do. It's so much more than worship. We make real, to incarnate in church speak, we make real the living God in the world. You know, when we say we're the hands and feet of Christ, sometimes those hands and feet are the only hands and feet, the only God that anyone else will ever meet. We're the answer to prayer. We're the means of God's grace. There's nothing spooky about it. It's just about rolling up your sleeves. We are the givers of hope and the encouragement of faith. And all you got to do is turn on the TV at night and watch the news to recognize that there is a serious deficit of hope in America right now. There's a lot of people who are afraid. And we are the source of hope. So we've got work to do. It's an awesome task to be a follower of Jesus. And we must be careful and protect ourselves from the sin of pride, for pride would undo it all. It's not anything we've earned. It's just that God loves us and we know it. And God loves everyone else and we need to share that. Every week we open our doors and we invite anyone who wants to come in and to join us on this sacred journey. And surely it's a good thing to do, but my dread of the sin of pride causes my heart to wonder over and over again, are we really doing it for them? Or do we in fact do it for us, to help us feel better about ourselves? It's certainly a risk. It's hard to remember that the goal of evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, has absolutely nothing to do with growing the church. That sounds almost like heresy, don't you think? Evangelism is about changing the world. If we're changing the world, people will want to figure out what's going on and why. And so, yeah, they'll come into the church, and yeah, we might get bigger. But that's not the goal. It never has been, and it never should have leaked into our thoughts. Remember that. Evangelism's goal is to change the world, not to grow the church. And as the psalmist says, above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound. Amen.